It's another Live at 5 Sports. Bill Dean in for Todd Burgett this week. We're joined by Jim Suhan Monday through Fridays, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. And Jim, we chatted yesterday. I think we were both really looking forward to those women's basketball games last night, and it kind of ended up, I think, the way a lot of Minnesota fans hoped it would.
Really spectacular play. And listen, you know, there have always been great women players and coaches and programs, but you turn on the TV on a Monday night and watch Elite Eight games, and you see Caitlin Clark shooting 27 footers with a hand in her face, drifting away from the basket and swishing them. You see Paige Beckers shooting a key three with a hand in her face and making it, and driving through three physical players to hit. I mean, the play was spectacular last night. Juju Watkins is an amazing player, an amazing freshman. She's going to be a superstar. The level of play was fantastic. LSU is really good. Angel Reese is a great player. It was just great basketball. But yeah, now we get Paige Beckers against Caitlin Clark. And I wonder if that's going to end up being one of the most watched women's basketball games of all time. They keep setting records because you keep having great matchups like this. But it's kind of ideal. You get Beckers and Clark playing against each other, and the winner is probably going to be playing South Carolina, kind of the budding dynasty for the championship.
Yeah, and it's in Cleveland, so, I mean, it's kind of next door. I would guess there'll be quite a few local fans that'll make that jaunt over there.
Yeah, I mean, UConn, Iowa, South Carolina all have just really loyal women's basketball fans who think they have a chance at winning a championship. I would guess they're all going to attend. North Carolina State is a little more of a sleeper, but, you know, obviously Carolina is a great basketball state, so maybe they'll bring their share of fans too.
You know, before we maybe delve into the Iowa game, I was so impressed with UConn's, I think, mental toughness more than anything when that game was, on the line. Those girls really stepped up.
They really did. Clutch play, moving the ball, Beckers orchestrating and hitting the biggest shots. She's a great passer, but she's really developed her offensive game because Gino recognized she's their best player, period. She's the best scorer. She's the best driver. She's the best shooter. So he's really pushed her to be less unselfish and to take the big shots, and we really saw her doing that last night. And Lee Edwards is a great player. They play well together. They're very tough-minded. And, you know, Gino's a tough coach. He's hard on his players, but in a way that they really respect.
You know, and it sounds like they've had just literally about as many injuries as you could possibly imagine. They do not have a very long bench right now.
They don't. They really lost four players who were rotation players. Fudd was a starter and kind of a budding star. So this is really Paige kind of carrying the team.
Well, and then, of course, again, it's not only the shooting and the incredible, range that Clark has, but her ability to see her teammates and especially to, advance the ball down the court. I mean, and there were a couple of girls that really stepped up, I thought, for Iowa, too, last night.
No doubt about it. But, yeah, Clark is just amazing. And she's the best shooter in the country. She's the best scorer in NCAA history. She's also probably the best passer in the country. As good as Paige is passing the ball, Caitlin Clark just makes plays that you just don't see many players, men or women at any level, make. Just, outlet, as you said, outlet passes, no-look passes, passes that kind of, as they say in the NFL, throw somebody open. The player isn't really open, but you put the ball in just the right spot, and all of a sudden they have a layup. Clutch shooting, high degree of difficulty on her shots, sense of the moment. That's a good, tough, physical LSU team. And Caitlin Clark went for 41 and 12 and 7 on them.
Yeah, and like you said, they are very athletic, LSU. Iowa got off to that fast start, which I thought was important. And then, LSU came back, and they got in some foul trouble. And ultimately, I think that is probably what doomed them as much as anything, and maybe that injury, obviously to Reese, too. We don't know the extent of it, but it sounds like she was playing in pain.
Yeah, and she did foul out, and that's a shame. I just hate to see. We have to have rules that limit your ability to foul, but I just hate it when rules take great players out of the game. Everybody's tuning in to watch Angel Reese play against Caitlin Clark. And I wish there was another way to handle, individual fouls, whether it's making it a double bonus situation, whatever it would be. I hate taking great players off the floor.
Yeah, and it sure was an iffy call, to say the least, there too, yep. You know, that fifth foul. Well, turning to the Gophers, you know, you and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You were not, I don't think, expecting a win, but they did it in that fourth quarter. And, boy, a Maya battle came through again in crunch time.
It's probably the best thing that could have happened in this scenario with Mara Bryan out, is Maya Battle, who was also a top recruit, coming through like that and kind of, you know, winning a big game in the fourth quarter with Gray Valley. She's done it more and more lately. She did it down the stretch a couple of times. That would be, you know, Mara Bryan's going to be a great player. If Amaya Battle can join her as one of the better players in the Big Ten, and you have that's your starting backcourt, and then you have a lot of other good complementary players. Gorholski's going to be really good. Heyer is good. Hart is good. You know, all of a sudden you're putting something together. And as badly as the season ended this year, I think they could go into next year with a lot more optimism if they feel like Amaya is ready to take the next step.
You know, and what an incredible journey they're on right now as we do this, you know, to try to get to their next game at Troy, Alabama. It was amazing when they were talking about the bus rides and the planes and, you know, so forth. I don't know how they're – hopefully they can sleep on the plane or on the bus.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I'll also say that, you know, listen, these are young – enthusiastic athletes, they'll probably be okay. You know, it's probably not the worst hardship anybody's ever gone through. I do hope we get to a point where women's sports are supported to the extent that, you know, whether it's the WNBA or the WNIT or whatever it is, that they get treated the way men's athletes get treated.
What do you think are the prospects for Caitlin Clark? I mean, where is she going to end up most likely?
She's going to go number one to Indiana, and she's going to be a star.
Yeah, and they've had a good franchise there, so probably there could be worse places to end up.
Well, yeah, they've been up and down. They're in rebuilding mode, but they got they got the great player from South Carolina inside. Now they have Caitlin Clark outside. That combination right now the WNBA is dominated by two super teams, New York and Vegas, but Indiana's going to have a fighting chance to become a super team with those two players.
Well, the Timberwolves and Houston Rockets tonight. Houston had a, 11-game winning streak snapped by Dallas. So they've been fighting, tooth and nails to get that final playoff spot. This is not going to be a cakewalk for the Timberwolves.
No, Jalen Green's playing great. The Rockets are playing great. They have a lot to play for. And as we saw on Sunday night, if you're not on your game, and it's not really a matter of pure effort. I think a lot of fans always think it's just the effort level. It's also adrenaline, and it's also, are you hitting your shots? I mean, the Bulls hit their shots, the Wolves didn't on Sunday night. I mean, the players say, it's a make or miss league. So the Wolves are a very good team playing at home, but this will not be easy.
No. Well, how does this work now? Say they've got one more game with Denver, and say they lost that one, so they'd split that season series. So where would the next tiebreaker go if those two tied?
I believe it's conference record, and frankly, I haven't looked up, you know, where those teams stand on that point. But yeah, it would certainly behoove the Wolves to win that game and have that tiebreaker.
Yeah, they do have the advantage over Oklahoma City, I believe.
I think they do. Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. We still have a few games to go here, so there's still probably a lot to be settled that way.
Yeah, well, and then it's a back-to-back. I know they're at home, but you got the Raptors coming in then tomorrow, and then it's off to Phoenix. So, like you say, it's not over yet.
No, and interesting week because Anthony Edwards has talked about being a little fatigued. His shot has been off, and he's been hitting the front of the rim, which usually an indication your legs are a little bit tired. It would really help if the Wolves could blow out the Rockets tonight. I don't know if that's likely, and give, you know, Edwards a fourth quarter off. If not, it'll be interesting to see. The Wolves do not really believe in load management. They don't believe in pulling their stars. But, man, Wednesday night against the Raptors, it would be a tempting time to rest Anthony Edwards if they win tonight.
Yeah, they sure have done it a whole lot less than some of the other teams, haven't they?
Yes, and it's one of the things to like about this franchise. Edwards doesn't want to rest. The Wolves don't want to rest their players. you know, their belief is you put your best team on the court whenever possible. We've seen Edwards and Gobert in particular play through injuries, and that is an admirable trait in today's NBA.
Well said, Jim. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Great. Thank you, Bill.